He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Week in Review edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. And we're going to take a look back at another week in the market. We have done five radio shows since we did the last, I guess four, with the holiday on Monday, since the last show, and we've got a lot to go over here, because once again, it was a very active week in the market, and we continue to be off to a fairly good start. We've seen a lot of stabilization in the market. We've seen a return to the growth stocks after getting walloped last year in 2022. We've seen a stabilization of interest rates for now. They seem to maybe, the bond market seems to maybe have finally bottomed out maybe a month or two ago. We've also stated that the NASDAQ bottomed out about 3 weeks ago. And we've seen steady progress in some of the bellwether stocks of the NASDAQ. We're now in earnings season. We've had a lot of earnings come in this past week, especially from the big banks. A few tech stocks checking in, and we'll go over those. But it all comes down to one thing in the market. Actually, three things. Earnings, earnings, earnings. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I begin my 24th year in the business. And the 24th year with the headphones on, talking to folks across America. We are a fee-based only money management firm with clients all across America. And we do very much believe in active management versus passive management. And welcome to the show here this morning, our chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. He's macro. I'm micro. Let's say hi to macro.
Yeah, well, it's, of course, plenty of macro data this week, whether it was, a good jobs report, which, of course, isn't great for interest rates because that's certainly inflationary. But, you know, we've got a lot of surveys. We had some Fed talk, right? We had a lot of Fed governors speaking. Both voting members and non-voting members, but you know, kind of a bit of a volatile week in the market, just mainly because it's going to be data dependent. And of course, like you said, earnings are beginning to heat up, and we'll get a lot of that, really know that earnings picture over the next week or two.
That's exactly right. You know, like we haven't had that many really big tech companies. We had Netflix, which came in with really good earnings this past week. I mean, it's not a pure tech company, but we will start to get Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, AMD, NVIDIA, all those important stocks here. Next week's going to be a really, really, really big week of earnings.
Interesting that they've announced, you know, a lot of those bigger tech companies. You had some announced layoffs from Microsoft and Google this week, and so they're, you know, interesting that they're making those announcements right prior to their earnings announcements and go forward guidance.
Yeah, and that's it's been really that's an inflationary factor, is the low unemployment rate and the difficulty in getting enough workers. But we've probably seen 100,000 workers in the Silicon Valley or tech related jobs laid off here recently. When you add it all up, Google was the latest one, another 12,000. And, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but that's kind of what the Fed wants. The Fed wants to see the labor market soften a little bit so there's not that upwards pressure on prices. When there's too much demand and not enough supply, you know, that drives the wages up, which is good for the workers, but it's bad for inflation. And, you know, another big report we got this past week. Well, we got several inflation reports from around the world. It seems like Europe is still very low double digits, but dropping. And here in the U.S., you know, we actually had the PPI, the producer price index, go down 0.5%.
That's right.
This past week, which was quite surprising. Well, I begin my 24th year in the business. I started out 24 years ago with a smaller firm in San Diego and then moved to a bigger firm in San Diego and then started my own firm in San Diego in 2006, Gunderson Capital Management. I got on the radio my first year in the business and have been here ever since. I spent quite a bit of time as an analyst writing up research reports for a couple of years, I guess, on individual companies. I have a very good background in valuations, doing valuations on stocks. That's an important part of the mix. It's not the end all. You know, if it were the end all, everybody would be a strict value investor
right.
doing valuations and counting on those valuations to come true someday.
There'd be no such thing as a value trap. If everyone was a value investor, right?
And a lot of value stocks are wishes rather than reality because, you know, sometimes you have to look under the hood. If a company seems to be a really good value with low PE, low price to sales, low price to cash flow, etc., there may be something wrong with it. And so that's where the analysis comes in and the research to see what might be wrong with it. I also have a pretty good handle on momentum, the momentum side of the equation. They're kind of at opposite extremes. You know, the valuation folks usually are very conservative. You know, they wear preppy suits. They drive cars that get good mileage and whatnot. Whereas the momentum investors, a little bit more willing to take on some risk to get the big gains. They tend to drive flashy sports cars and tailgate you in the fast lane of the freeway, right? A few inches off your bumper. Well, you know, during my years, I've studied both of those different methods of stock market and picking stocks. One, I would say, the Investor's Business Daily is a big proponent of the momentum style of investing, the Canslim style of investing. And then, of course, you get into Graham and Dodd with their 700-page book on stock analysis, and that's the value side of investing. I came to the conclusion after about 4 or 5 years in the business that the answer lies somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Somewhere in the middle. And that's why, you know, the system that I invented, I developed a spreadsheet for myself that would update the data every day from about 3,000 stocks when I started. And it would calculate valuations, and it would take into account the momentum. And then I did some proprietary formulas and playing around with it until I got a score, a final score, of value and momentum, a combination thereof. And I called it the Best Stocks Now system. So I feel like valuation is very, very important. But at the same time, you don't want a stock that is just going has been going sideways for years. I mean, AT&T or something like that would be a good example. You want some momentum and some institutional buying and a little bit of pizzazz behind the stock and a valuation that you can make sense of. I like at least 80% upside potential over the next 5 years. I'm up to now 6,000 stocks in my spreadsheet, my Best Stocks Now spreadsheet, stocks, ETFs, and mutual funds. And in about 2012, I'm going to say, we invented the Best Stocks Now app, which started out in the Apple Store. And it's for many years, it was one of the top selling apps in the financial section of the store. It still is very solid, but now you're up against like a million. Back then, you know, I didn't have as much competition. And then I eventually brought it to the Android store. We're trying to get it back up in the Android store right now. We're doing some revisions. And then, of course, it's on the web beststocksnowapp.com. And, you know, as I write my newsletter every week, I show you snapshots from the app, which tell me where the top sectors in the market are right now out of 66 sectors, where the top asset classes are right now out of about 30 different asset classes, where the best indexes are at the current time out of about 50 indexes. Then, of course, where the best ETFs, the best mutual funds, and the best stocks are at any given point in time. And all the sectors of the market, also very, very, very important. Last year you had one sector in the market working, oil and gas, and that was about it. This year you got quite a few more, which we'll talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter by going to my website today at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, 2023 is certainly a different year from 2022. And I would say the biggest difference is that in 2022, as we started the year, we were just beginning a very vicious, a very aggressive rate hike cycle. I can't remember now, but I'm thinking there were at least 3, maybe 4 75 basis point hikes, which is pretty drastic. I mean, that shows you how far behind the Fed was on the curve. And they had to get caught up. And it still remains a question of whether they will ever get inflation back to 2%, get that genie back in the bottle. But so far, what they're doing seems to be working. But that those rising interest rates of last year took a major toll. The higher the PE, the stock, the more damage was done. And as you go in scales, if you go way down to the furthest end of the scale, the long duration innovation stocks, that is the worst place to be in a rising interest rate environment. And as it relates to the bond market, the further out in duration that you go, the more water you took on in your bond funds last year. And that's all because of rising interest rates. And, you know, there is a correlation there. It's hard to correlate a stock with the bond. But that long duration is the common thread last year in the stocks that got hurt the worst and in the bond market. What is it about long duration? We'll ask our chartered financial analyst. In the future value of money, what does long duration do in a rising interest rate environment, Barry?
Yeah, and think of duration as simply the sensitivity of something to changes in interest rates, right? And it works in both ways. So, and of course, in when you're looking at bonds, for example, interest rates go up. Of course, your bonds that are further out in maturity or longer duration, right, are going to have more, they're going to go down more as interest rates go up, and they'll go up more as interest rates go down, all else being equal, simply because they are more sensitive to those interest rate changes because that cash flow goes on for a lot further. Similar fashion on your high growth stocks, where especially ones that aren't paying any earnings and actually may be losing cash, right, burning cash. Those earnings are way off into the future, right? And so the further those earnings are off into the future, the more sensitive those future earnings will be to interest rate changes. And so that's simply why the first the NASDAQ obviously took more of a hit in 2022 than the other large indices simply because more of those revenues are going to be further off into the future.
That's exactly right. And at the beginning of last year, 2022, we warned investors to avoid long-duration bond funds and long-duration stocks. And a good example of long-duration stocks would be Cathie Wood's ARK funds. They're out there as far as you can go, really, on that scale, unless you go into private companies that haven't even become public yet. But as far as retail investors and, traded funds and traded stocks, the Teladocs of the world and the battery makers and some of the startup EV makers and the test tube genetic companies that, trying to come up with new vaccines and whatnot, they're the long duration stocks. Oh, maybe over the long haul, they'll come up with something. And they'll be profitable. But in a rising interest rate environment, money leaves. It runs from long duration, and it moved to the short duration stocks yesterday. That's a bird in the hand, right? Is worth two. That's something that is cash flow positive, a big dividend payer, mature company. And we saw the Dow only down 9% last year, while the NASDAQ was down about 35%. And Cathie Wood's ARK fund was down over 60%. Okay, that's how it played out last year. And it played out the same way in the bond funds. Your short-term bonds, I mean, even like 2 months bonds, were paying 4%, 3%, and 4%, while the long-duration bonds were paying about the same, but they were getting whacked because of their duration. And if you go out to the 20- or 30-year treasuries, you really got whacked last year. The longer duration, the more water you took on. Now, having said that, there were two great areas last year to take advantage of on the inverse side. You know, there are ETFs out there that are inverse, whatever index or whatever sector or whatever. They even have a lot of ETFs now that are inverse individual stocks. Well, we picked on ARK last year, because we felt that with the duration long-term in nature, that the counter to ARK was SARK. And we wrote several articles in Seeking Alpha, where we are one of the top writers out there on that website, about we like SARK better than ARK. Well, if Cathie Woods went down 60%, SARK went up 60%. It has an inverse relationship to it. And another big winner in the ETFs last year was TBT. TBT is the treasury bonds, long-term treasury bonds, but inverse, okay? And it was up about 60, 70% last year. At one time, it was up 100%. So you can deploy some of these inverse funds from time to time, and we use PSQ from time to time as a hedge, which is inverse the NASDAQ, which took on the most water last year.
Yep, and I think, important concept is using that TBT is essentially TBT goes up as interest rates go up, right? And so that offsets as interest rates go, you just mentioned, as interest rates go up, bond prices go down. And, of course, so employing some of that TBT actually reduces the overall duration, right, risk of your bond portfolio. So it just gives you ability to hedge and gives you ability to control some of that risk without selling needing to sell those individual bonds at that particular moment in time.
That's exactly right. Now our listeners in Ohio are only going to be with us here for a few more minutes, so I want to let them know this is now. Now it's 2023, and we have an entirely different outlook on the market than we did 1 year ago. To see what our current outlook on the market is and what we've been buying here recently and what we've been selling and how we're constructing our five different portfolios, you can get 2 free weeks of our newsletter which only goes out to our clients and subscribers by going to our website at GundersonCapital.com. It's a very in-depth newsletter. It's our internal research that we produce weekly on the market. Get 2 weeks free at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. It's a pretty flat week for the market, but this is an entirely different market from the one that we had 1 year ago, where we were just right at the beginning of some very intense and aggressive rate hikes by the Fed. That brought the multiple of the S&P 500 down from 23 a year ago to about 17 today. That's where the damage was done. It was done to the multiple. You take the earnings of the S&P 500 and you multiply that by a multiple to come up with the valuation for the S&P 500. Over the long haul, the multiple for the S&P is averaged between 16 to 18, somewhere in that area. We got as high as 23. Why? Because of the zero interest rates that the Fed had in place for so long, the loose money, all of the money going in, you know, in the way of infusions, injections, you know, because of COVID and whatnot. So that really drove up the speculative area of the market. You know, 2020 was an entirely different year also. That was the COVID year. By the time we got to April, the market had sold off heavily. And we called the buy signal in on our Seeking Alpha articles at the market's bottom. That was April of 2020, actually late March. We said the Boeing bottom at 100. And we missed the bottom by just a few days. And the market roared in 2020. People were at home. They had nothing else to do. They were getting stimulus checks to stay home and not go to work. And they drove Bitcoin up to 66,000. They drove some of those Coinbase and electric vehicle stocks, you name it. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy year.
Drove food at home prices higher because everyone was cooking at the
house.
Yeah,
you remember the work from home ETF where DocuSign and Peloton and anything you did at home, those stocks were just roaring. Well, you know what? Valuation matters. And as soon as the Fed started to say, you know, we're going to have to do something here, they didn't say they created the bubbles, but in a way they did with their loose money and all that money sloshing around. They also created inflation with all that money sloshing around too, because people had a lot of money, and you know, you had the supply chain kind of shut down, so now you got a lot of money chasing fewer products that are available, and you created a monster in inflation that got up to like 12% here in the U.S. It's now running at about 6.7. So the Fed had to go on a very aggressive rate hike path, and that just put a nail in the heart of the high P.E. growth stocks, the emerging growth stocks, the innovation stocks, the long yield bond funds, and you had to do something totally different last year than what you've done in previous years because the damage was pretty great to the market. Now, fast forward to 2023, we've been calling out our scenario for 2023 for the last several weeks, saying that we think the Fed will be done hiking interest rates by spring of this year. You know, Jerome Powell, in his last indication, said that the terminal rate would be right around 5%, maybe a little bit over that. We're at 4.25 right now, so we only have 75 more basis points to go. So we're figuring, three more 25 basis point hikes, and we're there.
And even if you get four, you're still in June or so at the most.
Yes, and then it starts to level off. The Fed levels off as they watch the inflation numbers coming in. And the market today is looking way beyond spring of this year. They're looking to spring of next year, 2024, and acting accordingly. The market starts off the year seeing a much better picture from the interest rate standpoint. The multiple has stabilized in the 16 to 17 area. It has room. It has a little room for expansion this year. We've seen a big drop in interest rates recently. This week they went clear down to 3.5 on the 10-year after being at 4.25 not too long ago. The bond market is looking beyond the rate hikes now, too, and it sees light at the end of the tunnel. Now, it's one thing to have a multiplier. You got to multiply something, and what we multiply are earnings. We multiply, we take the S&P 500, and of course this works for individual stocks too. We take the aggregate earnings of the S&P 500, divide it by the amount of shares that are out there on the S&P 500. We get a number, multiply it by that multiplier, and we get a target price for the S&P 500. And I can just say that this year, the consensus target price is about 4,500 for the S&P 500. And, of course, we're very close to 4,000 right now. We think 4,500 is a little bit on the rich side. The earnings, we are expected to grow earnings. Now, there's another thing that you need to know. Why has the market, if we go back to the beginning of this big bull market that began back in 2009, earnings got clear down to $60 per share for the S&P 500. Okay, you multiply that by 16 to 18, you get an S&P that's worth about $1,000. Well, what happened along the way? Earnings have gone up every single year except for the COVID year since 2009. And we've gone from $60 a share this year right now. The consensus estimate is $220 per share. So the market has gone up as earnings have gone up. And if the market's going to continue to go up, earnings are going to have to continue to grow at important companies like Apple and Microsoft and Google and AMD and Microsoft and Boeing and all the rest. But as for now, we're still expecting growth this year in earnings and growth next year in earnings. But we're not going to have that juicy 23 multiple to multiply those earnings with. I wish we would, because then you're looking at about a 5,000 S&P 500.
You will likely have a bit of a tailwind. As we've talked about, you'll have a tailwind there because, likely interest rates leveling off, or at least expectations even lowering in the future, like you said, in terms of the market, looking forward and far forward ahead. So that's one side of the equation. And, of course, as you're mentioning, the other side of the equation is earnings.
Yes. And, the other big difference I would say between a year ago today and where we are today, you've seen a return of interest and buying in the growth stocks. Last year, the growth stocks were to be shunned. The NASDAQ is the poster child for growth stocks. It was down 35% last year. So early, or about the middle of last December, maybe early December, I started to see a lot of the key components of the NASDAQ start to bottom. They'd been dropping all year long. Well, eventually they get to a point where people come in and start buying these tech stocks after they're down 30, 40, 50, 60%. Tesla went down by 65% from its high. And we started to see those stocks bottom out. And we started to see beyond the rate hikes. And we started buying growth stocks once again, starting, maybe very late last year, like the last week of December. And we've been adding growth stocks on a regular basis to the five portfolios, stock portfolios that we run. and there has been a return. And now let's take it one step further. The components of the NASDAQ make up the NASDAQ composite, the NASDAQ 100, which is dominated by companies like Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Tesla, AMD. Those are the big horsemen, Adobe, of the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ put in a bottom. Is it 3 weeks ago now that I called the bottom, or is it 2 weeks? Let's see. 13,
yeah, I think
six.
It was
2 weeks
it was
ago.
It may have been 2 weeks because it was a Friday article. I know it was over the weekend, so it
yep.
We get over a three-day weekend. So I think we get it seems like stretched out. But, yeah, it's
could
only been about
2 weeks.
Yeah,
three.
It might be. I'm pulling
so
it up
we
right
put
now.
Out. You can pull up the article. You can go to Seeking Alpha, pull up the article. It had a lot of page reads. I think something like 17, 18,000 page reads. We called the bottom in the COVID back in 2020. You can look up that article too. It was called the bottom
ago.
Is in.
So it was on the
2 weeks ago.
Put
okay,
on the
so
sixth.
2 weeks ago we went out on a limb and said we see a bottom now in the NASDAQ. In fact, it didn't just say we think. It said the NASDAQ has bottomed. And so now you used to say, okay, what now? Well, you look for some of the very best stocks in the NASDAQ. And you start slowly adding them back to your portfolios once again. All right, when we come back in the final segment, maybe we'll mention some individual stocks and sectors that we like in the market right now. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Guy. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, week in review with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide money management fee-based only firm. We have clients all across America. Our radio show is heard in many markets across America. We put out the newsletter every Saturday, which goes out to all of our clients and all of our subscribers. We have a lot of do-it-yourself followers that follow us. They follow me on Twitter. I'm at Bill Gunderson. I'm on StockTwits, also at Bill Gunderson. I have some 55,000 followers there on StockTwits. We have the app, BestStocksNowApp.com. All of our radio shows that we do during the week, they're hard-hitting shows. You know, I put in a couple, 2-3 hours every morning finding the nuggets that I think are the most useful each day in the market.
And plenty of news.
Plenty of news
out there at the moment,
That's why we're active investors. When you have a major change like what the Fed did this past year, you got to get out of the way of that, and then once they're done, then you can start getting back, going in a different direction, which we've been doing here recently. I also have a live trading, not really trading. I do between the five portfolios. There's probably one or two a day, you know, that I'm either selling or buying. I'm constantly on the lookout. I'm in the market from the time it opens till the time it closes. I send out alerts to all the people that follow me. When I buy something or sell something, I let them know which portfolio it's coming out of and whatnot. And you can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, to sign up for 2 free weeks of the newsletter. Also, if you know, any of this sounds good to you, maybe you're thinking, well, God, you know, whoever manages my portfolio, I don't think they put in that kind of work. Not that it's any guarantee that, you know, we'll do better, but we're certainly going to do our best that we possibly can and deploy valuation methodology. We're going to deploy chart. I look at 700-800 charts a day. The momentum characteristics, try to get you into the leading sectors in the market, do our best, you know, depending on your risk tolerance to put you in the very best areas of the market, given your risk tolerance. So I'm going to start off with, if you're really risk averse, really risk averse, I've sat across the desk from a lot of folks during my years, 24 years in the business, and some people are just really nervous about the market. Well, you know, I'm not a fan of annuities at all. I don't like the illiquidity and the high expenses. As I racked my brain, what do you do for folks like this? Well, you know what? You can put the, we have an individual bond portfolio that's made up of 8-9 bonds. The duration is about 2 to 4 years, somewhere in there, 3 to 4 years, somewhere in that range. You hold them to maturity. And, you know, right now, because of interest rates going up, that's been a blessing for bondholders and bond buyers. We've packed away about 3 new bonds so far this year that are up in the over 5% range, you know, and you hold them to maturity. I've had a lot of people tell me over the years, hey, I'd be happy with 5%. And I'm very risk averse. So that's, I'm just going to throw that out. That's a good alternative. And, you know, I mean, they move like by 2 or 3 cents a day. These are $100 bond, you know, priced at $100 or $1,000 increments. And they move very little. I mean,
yeah, and it builds a good base to, especially in this, you know, entry, this particular entry point at the moment, you know, it builds a, you know, base where it's, you know, a return where, you know, you've got a high probability of, you know, of receiving that return, right? So mathematically, it's more of a certainty. And when you, you know, build that on top of course, you know, redeploying kind of back into the equity market after a tough 2022, it's a, you know, it's a pretty compelling story at the moment.
Yes. Now let's go to the other end of the scale, growth scale. This year, starting in about late December, we started moving back into growth stocks because we feel like the multiples have finally settled down and have come down a long ways in the tech stocks, and now these stocks are more attractive. And, you know, they were the worst performers last year by far, and now if you look beyond springtime and see the Fed finally starting to level off as inflation continues to come down. That's got to happen, of course. You might even see, and I've seen, I'm not the only one saying this. There's others out there that say you could even see some rate cuts by the end of the year or early in 2024, which is also favorable for growth stocks. But I think having said that, we're not talking about the long duration, the Lucid Motors, the Rivians, that kind of thing. I would focus on the quality growth stocks, the horsemen of the NASDAQ, you know. There's some stocks that are definitely just big category killers, big cash cows. And, you know, we still have some a lot of dividend-paying stocks, too, that are still in a pretty good spot. A lot of them are medical-related stocks. That continues to be a good sector. And I still think that the oil and gas sector, which was the best sector last year, it's off to a pretty good start this year. And I think there's a pretty good bottom in oil at about $75 per barrel, unless we go into a deep, deep recession. Then, of course, all bets are off, which would be my last comment here. What are the chances that we go into a recession? I see somebody sent me a tweet saying the gauge, the recession gauge, is very high. Everyone's expecting a recession. Well, I think if we do, it's going to be a mild recession. The Fed is doing their best to thread the needle without raising rates too much to put us into recession.
But we had GDP contraction, last year,
yes,
already. I mean, it's one of the, you know, you can certainly argue that parts of the economy are already in a recession or have been in one for an extended period of time.
Yes.
So it's just, I think it's one of these things that's going to be unique because it's going to drag out and it may not be, you know, near as deep because of those sticky employment numbers.
Yes. And at the same time, they don't want inflation to get out of control. So they have a needle to thread, but in the interim, as we've said, this is a totally different year from last year, and got to adjust your portfolios accordingly. If you're looking for a fee-based money management team, Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter to get an idea of how we do things. GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.